Church, happy Sunday. That's just one of you. The rest of you are not having a happy day today. Thank you, Addison. I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I know it's a little bit light in number this morning. A lot of people are away and they're coming back today. But, you know, this is, it's still a good day to gather in this place. Do you remember by the lifting of your hand the day that you got saved? This is kind of a sandwich week, if you will, weekend. Last weekend, we celebrated Easter. We had so many different things going on. Next week, we have our 70th homecoming, and I want to challenge you to invite at least four or five different people to come. I don't care how old you are or how old you feel. I want you to invite four or five different people to come and worship with us next week at homecoming. We start at 10:30. We'll have not Sunday school, and we'll be done. When we get done, we can go eat together, because there'll be plenty of food back yonder for you to enjoy. So that's what we have. Now, last week was wonderful. Next week is going to be fantastic as we gather together for that homecoming. And today, well, I just want to encourage you. I believe from time to time we all need to have some encouragement. And I want to do that this morning. I want to offer you hope, and I want to offer you help. And it's all found in God's Word. More specifically, we find it in John's Gospels. We're going to be looking at John chapter 14 this morning. Now, I realize that we skipped around a little bit, but for Palm Sunday and for Easter Sunday, we needed to focus on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as well as his departure. And now we're kind of getting back on schedule with John 14. And that's okay. But before we have our prayer time, and we're going to do that in just a moment here, I want to share a story about truth with you. A police officer pulls over this speeding vehicle, and the officer says, "I clocked you at 80 miles an hour, sir." And the driver says, "Oh my, officer, I had the cruise control at 60. Maybe you need to recalibrate your radar gun." But not looking up from her knitting, the wife who was sitting in the passenger seat said, "Now don't be silly, dear. You know this car doesn't have cruise control." As the officer writes out the ticket, the driver looks over at his wife and growls, "Can you please just be quiet?" The wife smiles sarcastically. He said, "You shouldn't be thankful that your radar detector went off when it did." Well, as the officer makes out the second ticket for the illegal radar detector, the man looks at his wife again and says with clenched teeth, "Will you just be quiet?" Anyway, the officer frowns and says, "Now I notice that you're not wearing your seatbelt, sir. And that's an automatic $75 fine." And the man tells the officer, "Well, you see, it was like this, officer. I saw you had pulled me over, so I took it off so I could reach back and get my wallet out of my back pocket to show you my ID." But the wife says, "Now, dear, you know very well that you don't wear your seatbelt anytime you're in the vehicle." And as the police officer is writing out yet another ticket for this gentleman, he looks at her and barks again, "Will you please be quiet?" Well, the officer looks at the woman and asks, "Does your husband always talk to you in this manner, ma'am?" And she goes, "No, not normally, only when he's been drinking." Scripture tells us that the truth will set you free, but the truth that points to Jesus Christ. And sooner or later, things that we do are going to come back to haunt us. I don't believe in karma, but I believe in what God's Word says.
Good morning. Our song this morning is taken from John 14:6, which the pastor will probably talk about in a little while, but I just wanted to read it. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth,
circumstances that are taking place in his life and the life of his disciples that are following him. I mean, Jesus' death is near. We're not talking weeks. We're not talking days. We're talking just hours. And he's letting his people know, don't worry about this. Don't let your heart be troubled. They're in the very shadow of Calvary, the place where they're going to nail him to a tree. And again, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus seeks to console those who are following him. In the midst of his most dire trial, when his life is on the line, he's concerned about others. And that's what we see in John chapter 14. Now again, let me remind you of what's going on here. Back in chapter 13, he taught again about his impending death. He was letting his disciples know, there's going to come a time where you're going to see me take my last breath, but don't worry about that. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's going to be. But there's going to be victory even through that. They learned that one of whom, one who has walked with them, ate with them, served with them for 3 whole years is going to turn their back on them and betray Jesus to the enemy. And then Peter, who is, hate to say loudmouth, but maybe he was, but he was certainly the spokesperson for the group, that he heard, as well as others, that this man is going to deny Jesus, not once, not twice, but 3 times before the morning comes. Now this is what's going on in their life. Now they never imagined themselves being here, and maybe some of us this morning are going through something that we never imagined that we would go through either. But God is telling us in that still small voice, let not your heart be troubled. I'm with you, and you will find the victory. I am amazed. I am amazed that Jesus, again, with everything going on in his life, so concerned about others. You know, there have not been too many people that I've gone to see that was in a hospital lying on their deathbed when they asked me, how are you doing, Dave? And really meant it. Outside of just a simple greeting. Not too many people have ever done that. They're more concerned about themselves, and probably rightfully so. I'm there to encourage them. But I do remember this one gentleman. He was on a hospital bed in his living room. It was just a matter of time for him, and he was very concerned about me because he didn't just ask, how are you doing today? I mean, he went a little bit deeper to ask me about personal issues that was going on in my life at that time. Here I am to help them, and he's trying to help me and encourage me. That's where I see Jesus at right here. He is trying to help them. He's trying to encourage them. Now, they didn't fully understand what was happening and what would happen just yet, but Jesus did. He sought to bring peace to them that they might have it in their lives for these days that are coming up. Now, today I have 2 points for you, and the letter for today is H. I want to share the hope that we have in Jesus and the help that we get from Jesus. And just to give you full disclosure, just because there's only 2 points, it doesn't mean you're going to get out any earlier. I just want you to understand that. So to begin with, let's look at verses 2 and 3. I remind you that there is hope for tomorrow. Jesus tells his followers a heavenly home in verse 2. I mean, this is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus has been working on heaven since he went back there for us. He knows exactly what we want. He knows exactly what we need. And he is working to get that together for that time we get to see him face to face. And when a believer passes from this life, there are 2 things that I try to stress, especially if I'm doing their funerals. First of all, I don't use past tense because they still are, not was. And secondly, they are home now. This place is only temporary. You know, the house that Stacy and I live in, we like that house. We love our house. We take care of our house, but we know it's not our permanent residence. Like that old song. What you like about your home, and this is going to be so much better than what that is. I mean, you think about it. Paul had an opportunity this preacher, who was never short on words, that's how we are. I teach the college and career class, and when I ask them for their responses, they're one- and two-word answers. Isn't that right, Michael? That's right, you weren't there this morning. But I have paragraphs, so I understand. And Paul, when he saw heaven, he was speechless. He could not describe it. This is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." This preacher couldn't put into words how beautiful heaven is. He's just letting us know what he's saying is heaven is far better than we could ever imagine. Jesus knows this already. You know, while we're still here, we can only imagine how good heaven might be. And the only way we can get there is if we leave here. We cannot be in two places at once. Paul looked forward to going home. Jesus looked forward to going home. This is our heavenly home that Jesus spoke of to the disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 2. In verse 3, he speaks of a heavenly hope. Jesus is letting them know that where he's going, there's going to be a time that he's coming back. You know, Arnold was not the one who coined that phrase for those Terminator fans. It was Jesus who said, "I'll be back first," not Arnold. You know, there are many people who don't believe this book right here. There are many people who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Therefore, they don't believe that he's coming back in a time that we call the rapture. And those people are just blind to the truth. That's what Scripture tells us. As I shared in our sunrise service, there are more people who could testify to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead after he was executed upon the cross than could testify to the fact that I'm alive right now in 2025. There are more people that saw him, spoke to him, ate with him, talked with him during that time than there are that see me or talk to me today. And my advice to all those who will listen is be ready, because we don't know when he's coming back. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 26:44. He said, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." So we think everything's great, everything's going on just the way it's supposed to be. It might happen right then. It might happen this morning. Wouldn't it be a bummer if we missed next week's homecoming because we had the great homecoming today? It would not be a bummer. You're absolutely right. And just like what we're going to enjoy next week, it's already started in glory. And that's what I'm talking about, the heavenly homecoming he refers to again in verse 3. Another aspect of being a Christian is that we never have to say goodbye. All we got to do is say, "See you later." All those wonderful people that we're missing right now because God has called them home, we're going to get to see them again someday soon. And you're going to see those pictures flash up before you next week of just this past year. And you think back, all the other ones who've been an influence in your life, all those people that have loved you and taught you and shared with you, and they know Jesus Christ. They are there waiting on our arrival. And I promise you, time is going a lot faster for them than it is for us. Jesus, his disciples, were understandably and visibly upset that Jesus was going away. They didn't want to see him leave. They didn't want to see him suffer. I get that. But Jesus is letting them know, "Hey, where I'm going, y'all can come too." Have you ever wondered? Have you ever thought, you know, when I get to heaven, the first person I want to see, the first thing I want to do, you know, maybe it's see our spouse. Maybe it's to see our parent. Maybe it's to see our child. Maybe it's to ask this question or that question. Have you ever thought about that, what you would do first? Probably, I'm thinking, for me as well as maybe some of you, the first thing that we will ever do when we get to that glorious place is we're going to see Jesus face to face. And we're simply going to say, "Thank you. Thank you." the very beginning, even before our world was formed, God knew that we would need him, that we needed to be saved. He knew we'd sin, he knew we'd be lost, and he knew that you were going to be here this morning. Some of you might have surprised me, but we can't surprise God. Jesus tells his followers there is but one way, one plan of salvation, and he tells Thomas again, just as our praise team had sung, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, contrary to what people are saying concerning salvation, there is not more than one way to skin a cat. There is not more than one way to crack an egg. There are not other fish in the sea, so to speak, because we are used to having more than one way of doing something. You know, we could prepare an omelet that several different ways. We can go to the store several different routes. I got a table saw a few months back, and I was looking at YouTube to see how I need to maintain this, and I found 25 different ways to maintain my table saw. There were more. I just didn't want to watch all those videos. But as for heaven and God's word is concerned, there is only one way. It is through Jesus, and he made that way for all of us. And there are people today in positions of authority, religious people, who are letting others know that there is more than one way to get to heaven. But Jesus says, no, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life. Are you not excited? Is there joy in your life today? Because if there is, please share it with me. Let me see it a little bit. You know, Joey talked about last Sunday night, I didn't see it, but I've read some things about it that just kind of made me upset. And I'll share that with you this morning. You know, in our world today, people get offended about the stupidest things. I mean stupidest things. And I know that's probably not the best word to use behind the pulpit. But it's stupid. And they were talking about how Carrie Underwood forced her Christianity down people's throats because she wanted to have a faith-based thing on Easter of all days. And people are ridiculing her. They're saying that she's down on American Idol. She doesn't need American Idol. Believe you me. You know, but the point of the fact is, I am tired of them forcing down my throat couples cheating on one another, or parents abusing children and children abusing parents, and people just going on murderous rampages on TV. And I don't put up with it. There's this little red button on my remote control. It has power on it, and I can turn that thing off. And I'll have to stand there and make a fool of myself and complain about this stupid stuff that's happening. You know, one of these days, that very person that Carrie is seeking to glorify through her singing is going to judge these people. And if they don't know him before then, he is going to tell them, depart from me because I don't know you. And it's going to be over for them. Over as far as the chance of getting into heaven. But the suffering will only begin. Anyway, that's not part of my message. Take it for whatever you want. There is help today. There is help, salvation. We also have help for service in verses 12 through 14. Everything that God wants us to do, either individually or collectively as his church, he will give us the gifts to get it done. Whatever we here at Trinity Missionary Baptist Church believe that God is calling us to do, he will equip us to get that job done. He will give people in here the gifts to do those jobs and get those things accomplished. It's up to us to say, Lord, here am I. Send me, so to speak. Allow me to be used by you in this place at this time to further your gospel message. I mean, he will honor us in chapter 12. We'll be able to do greater things than Jesus did. Not in quality, but in quantity. When Jesus walked this earth, he could be at one place at one time, and that was it. But now that we're saved, we could be all over the world doing the work that God has called us to do, and he would be glorified, and his kingdom would grow. You see what I'm saying? You don't see what I'm saying. He will hear us. You know, one of the things I love about God is that he listens to me. He will do whatever is needed in my life to get it done. He will provide for all of my needs. send a helper to you. He will send a counselor to you. In his title, all those different things, the Holy Spirit who comes alongside of us and dwells with us and walks with us. Talks about his ability in verse 17. That he is the giver of gifts. He is the equipper of the saints. The very one who indwells us. This is part of his person. And Jesus also emphasizes his permanence. Look at verse 16 again. When he comes, he stays forever. He is always with us. So no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, what we're up against, who likes us and who doesn't like us, God's Spirit is always there upon us and with us. And for those who are wondering why, Jesus tells us. He tells us of his purpose. Now, I admit, there are some things that are a little fuzzy with me. You know, I can read through Scripture and some things I just don't quite get right away. But the more I study it, the more God's Word is open to me. And the reason that is because God's Spirit is teaching me. And he'll teach you the same way. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit's purpose, that he indwells us in verse 17. The very moment that we're saved, God's Spirit comes to reside in us. And we become the temple of God. Because God resides in us. God lives in us. Look at the person sitting nearest you. Do you see God in their eyes? Now, I know you're joking, but do you see God in them? You know, if we saw God in one another, maybe we wouldn't have those feelings that we have about harboring bad things towards one another, holding grudges towards one another, or just not liking. There's no greater connection in this world than we can have with God indwelling in us. He indwells us to invest. The Holy Spirit fills us with love to serve God. He enables us to do these things. And without him,